pray the Lord will help you help me. From the 8th chapter, the book of Deuteronomy, in the 2nd verse, we find these words. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. What an unspeakable blessing it is that God ever remembers that we are only clay. But at the same time, he teaches his people they are but clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. And you see, there's something in these words which I hope will cause us to remember, because God has said, and it is his word and it is his promise, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. God never makes a mistake in his leading. We may sometimes imagine things, but God has a divine purpose for every one of his dear children, and he has promised to do this, to give them a mind that we remember. And that's not a natural mind, it is a spiritual. Spiritual mind which is set on heavenly things. Hence you see the truth of the word of God that is written more than once, but we often quote it. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and it doesn't like to be found under the hand of God. The spiritual side is the Spirit of God that is working in the heart of this person. But as long as you and I have a being, we shall find this. There is a conflict going on in our heart. There is this conflict against God, because God is determined, you see, that every one of his people should be humbled. And to be humbled is to be brought down, to be laid low. Not before we are brought to lay at the feet of Christ will we begin to even learn anything about him. And God has promised this by teaching us that we shall remember, but it is the way we shall be taught to remember. All his doings, all his goings, some of them that we can't see and trace, we have to say, well, I never thought the Lord would deal like this with me, but it's good. And he said so many times, it's rung in my heart many times, and no doubt yours, I will by means like these thy stubborn temper break. Soften thy heart by due degrees to make thy spirit meek, humble you. you see, the old flesh doesn't like it. Yet God has a purpose in it. And when you prayed, I hope I have, you have many, many times, you're so miserable in yourself because you cannot see any trace nor any evidence that you appear a little bit like Christ and you want to. Lord, give me thy spirit. Let my spirit be subdued by thy spirit. Let me know what this really is, to be humbled and brought down and to be laid low at the feet of Christ. You're going to remember all this. Dear friend said on the phone last night, dear old lady turned 80, she said, you know, I can't see my evidences. And it worries me so much, I can't see them, I'm getting so old, and I can't see them, I can't feel them. I said, you're not alone. The dear psalmist said this, Lord, we see not our signs. You don't always remember how the Lord's led you and you want to. Sometimes it's just as if your mind is filled with confusion. You know what confusion of mind is? You have to say, well, if it's confusion of mind, God, it is not the author of confusion. But friend, he's the author of real, true religion. And this is what he's giving to you, to his people. A bringing down, a laying low. Think of Zacchaeus as he climbed up in the tree. Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, come down, come down. I know many times do we need this for the Lord to say, come down, my child, come down. How are we going to be humbled? As he humbled you, as he humbled me. By ways and means that you never thought of. Shown you the proneness of your heart, that you're prone to leave the God you love. You oftentimes worry and are confused about the issue of your religion presently, how the matter is really going to stand, whether or not you will really reach heaven. Now look, God has promised this. And in our text tonight there is a sure and a solemn word of promise. Thou shalt remember all the way. And he doesn't say that man has led you, that the minister's led you, that the church has led you. He doesn't say that you've been led by anything else but himself. That the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What do we read in Psalm 107, the 7th verse? And he led them forth by the right way. God doesn't lead in the wrong way. He shows us. He causes us to hear the word, his voice. Sinner, this is the way. Walk ye in it. These are the means I'm going to employ to bring down that heart of yours. Why is it that your heart and mine need so much bringing down? First of all, because it's a natural heart. And secondly, because it's a heart that is so full of pride. And thirdly, because it's a wayward heart, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave this God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Lord, I need to be humbled. But now do you find that you're in subjection to his will and say, whatever means is needed, do use it. Because that's what he's going to do. And whatever that may be, you know, he had touched the things that you and I have said sometimes, it can't be that, Lord, it can't be that. You ever read John Warburton Sr. when he nursed his dear little daughter, when he rocked her on his knee and he was singing, "The dearest isle I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." "Not this one, Lord," he said, "not this one." And the Lord took it both hands and took it away from him. Humble. To be laid low. And until that idol is removed, friends, from our hearts, we shall know very little about the humbling effect of the gospel being applied to our heart and conscience. When God, in mercy, teaches, he does this, he takes a sinner in hand. And we will not always be saying, "Yes, I believe that my God, my Father, blissful name, that he's doing the right thing." There's sometimes when that contrary old spirit of ours, which is so averse to God and godliness and the way that he teaches us, we oft times say, "Lord, I don't want this way, and I don't want this religion at this cost, but you're going to have it." And to realize this, he's not going to take away our mind and our memory. He is going to give us a mind that will remember, to remember the Lord. I will remember going to hear a man preach a few years ago, and I thought, "Well, I wonder whatever he's going to make of this." And his text was from the Psalm, "Then remembered I the Lord." Then remembered I the Lord. And he showed us a little bit what that was to remember the Lord. That God, who is rich in his mercy, he condescended to remember us. And let us remember this. As he remembers us, he gives us a little grace to remember him and all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee. Just before the service with our friend inside in the vestry, we were just having a word or two, speaking about the Lord holding our hand. That's the way the Lord leads. "Take my hand. Put my hand in thine, Lord. Bring me away by the right way, that I might go to this city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God." Do you look at the end? Do our young people look at the end? Do you look at the beginning? Do you ask yourself, "Well, has God begun with me?" You know, it would be the joy of my heart to know this one thing, that whether we're old or young in here tonight, that there's something in our heart toward the Lord God of Israel, and that he's done something for us. Something you want, something you've asked him for, something he's given you, and something that he'll bring about for your comfort. You're trying, keep trying, keep asking him. And when you say, "Well, I can't remember all that I want to, nor can I." I know sometimes I go home from chapel Sunday night, tired out, mentally tired out after often three services. And I have sometimes to say, "Lord, what was the text tonight?" Just as if your mind is finished. You know, in a few hours it comes back like a little sweet oil. And the Lord drops it down. This is how he does it with it, causing his people to remember all the way that he's led them. Now let's go back, shall we? No good to say, well, long the end's all right. What about it? What about this beginning? Where was it the Lord began with us? Where was it the Lord taught us? Did he find us in a waste, howling wilderness? Did he lead us about, instruct us and teach us and keep us as the apple of his eye? Because that's what we read again in the Word of God, close to this one. If he's leading us, you know, he's leading us through a place that is known as a wilderness. This is not our rest. worries me sometimes. Sometimes I'm just as bad myself, you know. Have something fresh. Set your heart on something that is of the earth, earthy. You feel, well, that's just what I wanted. And before long, the Lord begins to show you, you know, that's not your idol. I'll take it away. For I'll smite you with sickness, and I'll humble you, and I'll bring you low, and I'll lay you at my footstool. Now this is good, but you're going to remember it from the beginning. And it's his divine pleasure that you should remember the beginning of your corporate by grace, that the Lord will teach you the way in which he will have you go and me too. Not the way we will go. Teach us the way he will have us to go. Job was very, very strict, I suppose the best word is, in this teaching. He was so often on the way. He knoweth the way, says that God knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now he went a little further than that. He had to come down a bit more. His God brought him down. Though he slay me, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Ever brought you as low as this? When you had to say, Lord, I don't feel there's anyone understand my case. But he does. And he's going to instruct you and me in the way that he will have us go. And this wayfaring wilderness, you know, the things that you say, well, there was my heart. My heart was taken up with this and that. When the Lord began with you, where was your heart? Mine was in the world. Mine was for the things of the world. Mine didn't want Sunday. It didn't want chapel. It didn't want religion. It didn't want people, God's people. It didn't want God. It didn't want Christ. I couldn't understand anything, why there was such a need for Christ, why men should preach him. But I hope I do now. So at the beginning, there is a great, as it were, a hole dug in those things that we say, well, there's the things my heart's affections were set on. And the Lord says, I'm going to clean it all out. Thou shalt remember. I'm going to remove it. I'm going to bring you the right way. And I'm going to instruct you. And when we have instruction, let us remember this. It's not the instruction of a college. It's not the instruction of a school. It's the instruction of the Spirit of God. See, some people don't like a minister to say, well, don't touch about, don't say anything about this education business, because, you know, it may hurt someone. Let me say this quietly and tenderly and lovingly. If we're any of us depending upon elementary education for our religion, we shall finish up absolutely wrong. It's true. Say, surely it can help. Now, I heard a man say this in the pulpit, one of our pulpits. It's a help. Education is a help to godliness, but it's not. It can be a hindrance. It can be a hindrance. It can't even help you to pray. Whereas some of us would say, well, right from now, Lord, I'll have that spirit of prayer right from now, but the Lord says, not this way. What sort of a man is the Lord teaching, and woman? This man, says Isaiah, will I look. This person will I look, who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembles at my word. Now the Lord begins to be in real business with that man, with that person. Because, as you see, the Lord is going to instruct that person in the things of godliness, in the things of salvation, in the things of eternity. And he will cause you and I to remember all the way from the beginning, all the way along. And I say that I could say to some of you tonight that you're a little advanced more than others. You well remember the first time the Lord gave you a little indication of his love towards you, and where you was made to feel there is hope for such a one as I. You are convicted as a sinner. And the Lord's going to bring you along every step of the way. I said a little while ago, the teaching of God is done in footsteps. Just like a person laying a path, it's a step at a time, pathway at a time, little at a time, a little here and a little there. But he instructs them rightly, and he teaches them the way that he would have them go. Now, if it was left to you, where would you be? I could take you to quite a number of people, and they would say the same as I would tell you. I didn't want this, you know. I didn't seek for this religion. I didn't want this religion. But what religion I've got, God gave it to me. What a mercy. And therefore God will make them to remember all the way. Now it'll be the way of love. Some people say, well, I can't understand this. If God's going to instruct us, a good teacher, a good instructor, is one that will have much patience and affection, naturally. Now, when it comes to the things of God, the good Spirit of God has those blessed, wonderful, heavenly qualities. He is one who has much, much love, much affection, much compassion, in the way that he teaches these people of God in the pathway that they should walk. It's not this austere rod business all the time. There are times when we have the rod. There's times when we've needed the rod. There's times when God has administered the rod. But there's times afterward when the Lord has in his love and mercy shown us this, the need for the rod. And afterward, the need for his compassion. His compassions fail not, and his mercies they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is how he's teaching you. And what a mercy it is, you see. You take a humble person to a proud person. Look at it naturally. You've seen it, I've seen it, sometimes see it myself. Ourselves, I look back to the time when I was young and the road was hardly wide enough for me to walk in. I was so proud. Thought, you know, we were someone. Hadn't got £2 in the world to call their own. Then the Lord began. And instead of coming up like a mushroom in the night, it was the Lord touching, afflicting, humbling, laying low, bringing down as low as Job's ditch. And if you want to know anything of humility, have a little read up in Job and you will see it there. Dear man of God, the one that knew what it was. Though he slay me, though he bring the worst on me now, yet will I trust in him. Trust in him. He won't give you up. And you won't give him up. You'll remember all the way. And when the first time was that you began to pray, you know, and a pouring out of your very soul to the Lord, you'll remember it. You'll be brought to that place. And you'll remember the time when mercy was opened up to you. Was Jesus, my dear friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. You're going to remember that. Friend, that'll be a good thing to remember when you come to die and I come to die. That channel of mercy that Jesus opened for you and for me. You remember all of it. And your dear spirit, the dear spirit of God, will sustain you in it. Support you in it. And you will find as you come down to the end, the truth of God's word underneath are the everlasting arms. I sometimes wonder now when I have been laid low and sick, well, what is it going to be like to really die? Am I really going to find that there's everything in Christ that I want? A few Sundays ago in Bedford Chapel, this hymn was made such a sweet blessing to me. We were at the chapel during that Sunday, but it was in the deacon's house that it was made a blessing to me. And I wonder what it meant. And I couldn't lose it, and I didn't want to. And the precious hymn was, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. We went to bed that night, and I couldn't sleep. And this broke in my very heart, not just here, in here. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Precious rock. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners. You know, in a few days we both went down sick together. They came back, rock of ages, rock of ages. And for a few days I thought my rock had gone. I had that confusion of mind. I had that temptation of the adversary. I had doubts and fears or turnip rise, then here and there, just a little hope. I will yet hope in him. I can't forget it now. I don't want to. Precious rock. And when I come to a portion of the Word of God, I read spiritual things, when I come to the word rock, he is my rock. That's what you're going to have when you come to die. See, some of us can't go on a great lot longer, can we? I say to the Lord, well, Lord, how long is it now? How much longer have I got? It's a wilderness. But oh, the teaching, the instruction, the mercy, the blessing, the casting down, the lifting up, the miseries, the song in the night, the crying in despair, the singing unto your beloved, which is Christ. Now what do we think of him, the way that he's brought us along the wilderness to humble us? And I would just make mention here, it says here, these 40 years in the wilderness. Some of you are not 40 years of age yet. And some are turned, or come up double that. But whatever that may be, however long that is, or however short it may be, if the Lord gives us a little sweet evidence that he has undertaken for us and instructed us in the way that we should go, we shall get to heaven presently at last, friends. He that hath begun a good work in you. And dear Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, that we spoke from Sunday night last, having been confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He won't leave it alone. It's too precious, why, your soul, my soul. And you go on learning, instruction, chastening. What do we think about the chastening? His chastening, therefore, prize the privilege of a saint. So say, yes, I know, but I look at others, they don't seem to have much chastening. I thought this the other day about someone. And the Lord gave me a real correction, and I was able to take it. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. It's not for us to say to the Lord, well, look at that brother, look at that sister, look at that friend. They have it so easy. They have all they need. Some of us have all that we need, only it's in a different way. We need much tribulation. We need much chastening. And mercy that our God has given it to us, because at presently, at last, there hasn't got to be a final settlement presently. The Lord gives you a final settlement before you come down to die, friend. What's the settlement? Jeremiah, as it could have told us, dropped into my heart this afternoon. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do you see, the Lord still goes on in the old way. He still gave Jeremiah the words to the people, ask ye for the old paths, not new ones. Plenty of people want new religion. Some young people want new religion, but I would say to them, look, ask for the old ones. Ask for the old paths. That's the only way, the old paths. Now the Lord teaches them that this being humbled and to prove them and to know what is in their heart. What troubles me is there seems such a lot in one's heart that is trouble. I often say to the Lord quietly and privately, Lord, what's in my heart that shouldn't be there, kindly subdue it. Bring my spirit in subjection to thy spirit. Then I know I shall finish up well, not with it. To have that subduing power. You know, when you realize you view your own bad heart, there's not enough time for any of us to view another person's heart, is there? Some people try to, but we can't afford this. Our time is short, and we view our own bad heart. We see such evils there. The sight with horror makes us start and drives us almost to despair. Can ever God dwell in such a heart as this? Oh, but listen to what Ezekiel said. I will take away the old heart, the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And this is what I'm going to do. As he says here in Deuteronomy, that I'm going to humble you and prove you. Let's take something material, shall we? Something you want to purchase. Whatever it may be, in business or in a home or something to wear or a car or whatever it may be. And you want to prove it. You want to examine it. You want to see if everything is in order. And it is that you're just right as the purchaser to say, well, that's just what I want, that's what I demand. God says he's going to do the same, only in a different way spiritually, to his people. I'm going to prove to you that it is by grace that you're saved, and that not of yourselves, because it is the gift of God. And I'm going to have a look into your heart, and I'm going to show you this. What is in your heart? And what a mercy this is. If the truth of the whole matter is brought to this, as we read in the new scriptures, God says it will be Christ Jesus, formed in our heart the hope of glory. Inside religion, friend, not outside show, inside religion, Christ formed there, set there, the hope of glory. Is that what you hope your religion is? I hope that's mine. Many, many fears there are. Many, many times you have to say, well, I don't know how the matter's going to finish. It'll finish well, friends, if we know something about the beginning, where God says he'll lead us and has led us these many years through the wilderness. He loves his people far too much, you know, to lose them. And I love the words of Jesus when he speaks of the fold and of the sheep. He said, not one of them shall perish. If they're a lamb, if they're a bleating lamb, not one of them shall perish. If they cry unto Jesus and cry after Jesus, not one will perish. He'll lead them. And what care, and what love, and what compassion and affection this dear Christ of God shows to his people, to know what is in thine heart. Then, just to touch on that last part, but I haven't really touched on much of it, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandment, his commandment or not. We could go back to Moses and begin on Sinai. We could make mention of those things that God commanded Moses to bring down from the mountain. We could remember those things that the Israelites, they again and again rebelled against God. And when Moses in his anger, he dashed the commandments onto the ground and he broke them in pieces. Just show what the human heart is against God spiritually. You and I are just the same, friend, just the same. What about the gospel commandments? What do we think of these? They're the commandments of love, the obedience of faith. You see, it is not to do something grudgingly. It is to do something lovingly and affectionately, and to have one in view, and that's Christ. You say, well, I would love to follow him, but it's this and it's that. There's something else. They all began to make excuse. We all do, and we all have. Let's remember this. The commandments of Christ are commandments of love. And when he says, you're my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, you know you'll find sometimes in your heart, Lord, I could lay down and die for thy sake. Not often, perhaps, here and there. What about this when he says, follow me, here's a commandment. We want something deeper, friends, than just outside form. I don't want to just think, well, Sunday comes, weeknight services come, and I just get in the car and off I go and back home, and there it is, just like a ring going round and round and round. We don't want that. That's empty. Oh, to know this. Christ Jesus, formed in our heart, the hope of glory will have an effect. It'll have the effect of love. And the effect of love is this with the church of old in the Song of Solomon. Draw me and we will run after thee. Draw me. Is there anything in Christ that you find an attractive? Is there anything in our young people here tonight that you say, well, there's something in this religion that I want? I was only 17 when the minister I knew nothing of him, but that afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, I grew to love him, 17 years of age. And he did this. He didn't know me. and I only knew his name, he preached. And I'd heard hundreds of sermons before. It never affected me. The Sunday afternoon, it attracted me. Some of our young people here, you know, they say, well, there's somewhere where I am. There's something in the gospel at times that attracts me. You make the most of it. You ask him to let in, let that precious gospel attract you again. Well, this dear man, he preached. And if my memory is right, I believe it is, it was from the Song of Solomon with relation to Jesus and his church. And I sat and I wondered. Nothing that I really knew had touched me like it before. Now, that's preaching. That man has got real religion. And I don't know many like it, but I haven't got it, but I want it. I want it. As he preached. And I got up to go out. Across the chapel, in this chapel, large chapel at Cranbrook. Just as if I was stopped. I heard a voice. You will have this religion one day. Before you die, you will preach that religion one day. Went right home to my heart. 17. I didn't tell a soul. And no one knew anything about it till I was about 33. So you see, tonight you have this. I have the evidence that I can say to you, Christ was preached in an attractive way to my young soul, and I was made to realize that his commandments are not grievous. If any of you feel troubled about this, they're not grievous. Jesus Christ is not a hard taskmaster. He causes people to order in love and in affection. We remember 2 or 3 years ago having a Sunday off, having a little guilt about it. Why should I have a Sunday off from preaching Jesus? And here we went together and found a little chapel on the Saturday night. Went to it on the Sunday. It wasn't one of ours, but if we'd gone to one of ours, we should have had about 50 or 60 miles to drive Sunday morning. And I said, well, I have enough driving Sundays all the year round, and I'm not going to. We went prayerfully, I believe, to this little chapel. And I said to the Lord, Lord, pardon me if I just want one Sunday to rest. I don't feel I ought to have it, but pardon me, but come and bless us. We went into this little chapel, about 2 dozen of us. The man began his sermon by giving out this for his text. Follow me, he said, and I will make you to be fishers of men. He touched it. I said, Lord, I can go back into harness with all that spiritual vigor that thou hast ever given me before. And I felt blessed in the Lord. It wasn't the same in the evening. You could accept it. But in the morning, I said to the man, you didn't know anything about it, but you know this was from the Lord. Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. What does it mean? Cast the gospel net. Praying, hoping, begging. Lord, have mercy upon sinners, and bring them to the footstool of mercy. And then presently, one day, they, as well as us, will see what is in their heart. That be Christ. What's the effect? Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. Do you really appreciate what he's done for you? Or do you still cast dishonor on his name about it and say, well, I'm not sure that he's done anything? Go back. Go back. When you've been on a journey, haven't you often thought yourself, go back to the beginning. Somebody made a mistake. Go back. Then you come along the journey again, showing you where you went wrong. So it is with the Lord. You will often hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And love will be the keynote of what his dear people want to know more of as they pass along life's journey. The nearer we get to the end, the more we have to say, Lord, take the shackles off. I don't want to find this to be my home. Sad lot were this to be my home, but should not cause the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Can't be long, can it? Can't be long. A few more years, a few more rolling sands at most. We hope we'll land us safe on Canaan's coast. I beg the Lord, I hope he's going to answer this one for me. He has answered a good many. And I beg of him, Lord, spare my dear one and I to November, to October the 15th. We've had 50 years together, spare us. Then after that, we don't know. We hope it'll be like I read on the tombstone just now, the one that's gone. To be with Christ, which is far better.